Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
The Yankees are playing an afternoon game, an early start today, and in the first inning, they're already up 4-0. Boy, the Athletics are just the best slump buster you could find, isn't it? Isn't it great?
Can the Mets schedule them next?
It's just so bad, need them, right? We've already had a pitch clock violation for a ball. That's nice. And what else do we have going on here? Oh, and your boy Harrison Bader, he stays red hot.
Nice. So they need
home
him
run.
That's what's up. Home run.
A three-run home run. Beautiful.
Did Stanton come back today? I mean, not Stanton. Judge come back today?
Judge came back last night.
Okay, gotcha.
So he walked and scored. So that's nice. Yeah. So there you go.
All sunshine and roses. Cashman.
4-0. Everybody's feeling great. Except for, of course, Aaron Hicks, who – I mean, I said it yesterday, and I don't like it. I'm not somebody who enjoys somebody getting injured, right? That's not what this is about.
Fool me once.
But it's amazing how we said it yesterday. He hit a double. He hit a home run. And it's like, oh, well, they're not going to move on from him. There was a thought that maybe with Judge returning, you had to open up a roster spot. Would they just, all right, we're done with Aaron Hicks. We just move on. But because his bat started getting hot, I said, you know, there's somebody in that front office that's like, we're going to give him a chance. Let's just see if something happens, if he can, you know,
catch
start
fire,
producing.
Switch hitter, yeah, he's a lefty, righty.
Right, all the things that why we have him. And then I said, but there's always that chance that as he starts to hit, then that's when that, you know, the strained oblique happens or something. Well, it's not a strained oblique. Instead, it's got a hip, little hip soreness.
I didn't get hip soreness for running in a circle.
Yeah, he was running, and he had to leave the game.
He didn't jump and fall on something?
Said he didn't feel great.
Oh, God.
So, there's that. But Bader has been on fire. Like, he has been really, seriously, he's been in fuego. It's been amazing to see how great he's been playing. He and Steph Curry just love to chew on the mouthpiece. It's not really... Like it's not really – the mouth guard's not really for the mouth for them. Yeah. It's like chewing gum.
You know what they told me not to chew that? Because little bitty particles get stuck into your body and your lung. Ooh. And they never go away. They can't be –
plastic that you can't digest?
Yeah, it's why you don't chew on straws or stuff or plastic pins.
So you think so, like –
those little pieces get in your body and you can cause something later in life.
30 years from now, we'll see a story about Steph Curry.
Yep.
And how he just has some kind of an illness due to plastic poisoning over the years.
Yeah, he gonna sneeze, achoo, and hits it and kill somebody with some fossilized shrapnel.
Let's hope not. All right, anyways, Yankees up 4-0. It's very early. The game just got started at the ballpark in the Boogie Down. That's the Pinstripe Report. It's brought to you by Samwell Institute for Pain Management for a pain-free life. Visit samwellpain.com today. Am I boring you? Am I boring you?
No. You know I got a migraine, so I have to open my mouth and try and open my jaws.
How'd you get a migraine?
I don't know. And I never get migraines. It's probably like the second migraine I ever had in my life. The last time I had a migraine was in Jacksonville. You know, we were playing the Jaguars, and everybody got migraines. That's why I think they got toxic stuff there. Like, I don't know what the hell type of feel or type of air they got in Jacksonville. Everybody got sick. So, like, we were like – it was crazy. Like, they had to get us all nasal sprays for our migraines. It was ridiculous. It was like 12 players. Couldn't see.
Ugh.
And this feels close to it, but it's okay. I'm going to push through. I play hurt. I'm going to push through.
All right, please do, because we got a lot to get to. We got a lot of mo.
I got to go get my sunglasses like Ray Charles. I got light sensitivity.
Look, whatever it takes.
I got a woman way over town. She's good on me.
So let's talk about a schedule release for the NFL, which only the NFL can do a schedule release that has everybody anticipation and excitement.
They sell everything, man. Listen, they make just as much money damn near as they make for the Super Bowl for now the traveling circus, which is called the NFL draft.
Yes.
Like, they make all this money in Indianapolis.
It's conventions that they have, right?
Our draft, people will forget that it's a baseball draft or a basketball draft.
Well, you don't know there's a baseball draft. But the basketball one, that's a pretty big deal. I mean, you know.
Yeah, but it's
no. We do have a big show.
But it's nowhere as big as like that.
No, no.
It's not an event.
It's not like the NFL. The NFL does it where it's just such a big deal. Anyways, so as we told you earlier in the show, the locals, we've already they're leaking out a little bit of thing, a little bit of the schedule when it comes to some of the big events, some of the primetime situations. Like Christmas Day, you will get the Giants at the Eagles on Christmas Day. I believe it's a 4 o'clock game, right? But that's still. Christmas in Philadelphia, where Santa will be booed. You can, I mean, there'll be a million references to booing Santa. You know that's coming. But it's a, I mean, heated rivalry game. And for the Giants, it's obviously late in the year. What, you know, what that's going to mean. Yeah, what that's going to mean. The Jets have also been mentioned in some of these schedule leaks. The Jets will host the Dolphins on Black Friday, day after Thanksgiving, at MetLife. It's a 3 o'clock game. And as we know, that's part of what the – that's the Amazon. They have the rights to the game. They're actually providing free access for all fans, though it is streaming exclusively on Prime Video. So you have to have the app, but I guess they're letting everybody see it for free, whether or not you you pay for the access. So that's at least that's a good thing. But still, having that game, Jets-Dolphins, again, a rivalry game. It's in New York. And we're joking around with everybody, so let's have some fun with it. Call us up, 800-919-3776. Also, tweet at us, at Barton Hahn. You know they're going to have all kinds of pop-ups. It makes sense. I'm watching on Prime Video. It's Black Friday. You're going to want to sell as much as you can. So what are things that they could do in this game that'll pop up? And it doesn't have to – like, I'm not saying selling jerseys. That's obvious. They're going to do that. But I'm talking about, like, things that you can subliminally sell during, like, a game between the Jets and the Dolphins.
Dude wipes.
I mean, that's, you know, doesn't matter who's playing in that game.
Manscaped.
Yep, that's pretty easy as well. We got a guy named Sam on Twitter who said, if a quarterback gets sacked, Amazon can pop up and say, need protection, and then show that they sell Trojans.
But that's a low sell for them. You know what I mean? You buy a 20-pack, that's $10. They're trying to sell some real, you know what I mean, make some real money.
Yeah, I think, you know, what, like if Tua gets sacked, do you know, like Advil? Or is that, would that be wrong?
Tussin. Your mama say put Robitussin on everything. Put
Tussin on it?
Yeah, put some Tussin on it.
I mean, you think this is definitely a day for StarKist, right?
Yeah. Hey, a thing that's trending now is called iron lung.
Iron lung?
Yep.
What is that?
And basically it's like you take an air pump and you pump it into a canister and you can go snorkeling and gives you 10 minutes of air underwater. It's a new thing that's going out for the summertime.
I'm all set.
Bro, if you can't breathe, then just come back up to the top of the water. Bro, you can take an air pump.
I'm good.
Pump air into it, and now you can breathe underwater going snorkeling? That's gangster.
There's two places that we really aren't meant to be. Deep in the water and way up high in the air. Really, really, we're not. As humans, we're not really
we ain't talking about going that deep when you talk about going. We ain't talking about, like, give you a canister on the back. We talking about going to look at the little guppies and the fish in the Bahamas, son. For 10 minutes, you ain't got to come up. You can sit up there and you can actually sit there and float underneath the water and see. Yo, I did it last year in Turks and Caicos. It was gangster.
Yeah?
Yeah, it was gangster,
okay,
man.
So they'll have a reason for that to pop up. How about like, fish food? Like, you know, you have, listen, for those who have an aquarium.
Yeah, filet of fish,
huh? Just absolute, like, little things that are subliminal that'll just pop up, and you won't even realize. You're like, oh, yeah, you know what? I do need to buy fish food.
SeaWorld tickets.
You know? Yeah. But I'm talking about Amazon. Amazon sells things that are just, like, they sell so many different things. There's got to be stuff that just can pop up. Like, we talked about Sauce Gardner. I mean, that's an obvious one.
Fatheads.
Whether you want pasta sauce, whether you want
Alfredo.
Barbecue sauce.
Vodka sauce.
Doesn't matter. Oh, look, Johnny Brito once again giving up home runs. Got to love it.
Hey, man, I need you to focus, man.
I'm trying. My bad. So I want to ask you if you think – this is significant because there's another bit of news on the NFL schedule release that was sent out today that I found interesting. So, you know, the NFL loves to go overseas now and play in Europe. The Jaguars are going to play twice in London.
Right.
But they have now five international games. Like, we have games
this year?
Now.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So we have games not only in London, but in Frankfurt, Germany as well. So there's three games in London during the season mm-hmm. and then two in Germany. So the first one's the Falcons and the Jaguars. No big deal. The Jaguars,
well, Jaguars are a playoff team.
But the Jaguars stay there, and they go, and then they play the Bills the following week. So Bills are going over to London.
Advantage Jaguars.
Hang on. The Bills, let's follow what I'm saying here, Bart. Forget the Jaguars. Mm-hmm. The Bills are going to play the Jaguars in October, okay? They're going over there. The Dolphins are going to play the Chiefs in November.
Ooh, that's
in Frankfurt.
A good game. Sending your best.
Okay, so the Dolphins now are also going over there. And then the last game, which is also in Frankfurt, is the Colts playing the Patriots. See where I'm going with this? Who's missing? So out of the five games, there's Bills, there's Dolphins, and there's Patriots all going over there.
Who's not going? I'm so happy the Jets aren't going.
There you go.
They went. Didn't they go last year or the year before?
And for the Bills, it's a home game. But for the Patriots, it's a home game. The Dolphins, it is not. The Chiefs, it's one of their home games. So,
and
do you think that it's a benefit for the Jets that they are not involved in any of this stuff?
Yeah, because one, if it's a home game, you kind of want. You want to be able to make the money at your own stadium, right?
Never mind the money. I don't even care about the money.
And you want the crowd too.
Well, there's that. But
I do appreciate that, and you don't have to worry about the travel.
It's
right?
The trip. It's all the stuff that goes with it.
The pageantry that goes with the trip, because then they usually have a family plane. Then you got to deal with all that stuff.
And
all
I
week.
Get one more home game. Maybe I'll get one more home game out of it. I get a home game that at least two of my so out of the division, the Jets are the only team not involved. Three of the four AFC East teams are involved in this stuff. The Jets are not. And I'm curious, is it a benefit to the Jets or not?
I think it is, right? Bigger picture, the NFL wants to have a team in London or over there, right?
Clearly.
So what they're trying to do.
Or Germany, too.
Yeah, so just understand the history. I think London, because London's a little closer.
Sure.
Right? It's almost like traveling from Seattle. The Jaguars owner used to own, I think he still owns the soccer team over there, Manchester or something like that. I think he owns one of the teams there. So he's really trying to make sure that his product is over there all the time. The fact that they're playing two games in a row, they probably have a bye after that. But they're going to be – the second game, they're going to have the advantage because they're going to be fully adjusted to the time difference, to practice, to eating, and all that stuff. And then the team coming over there for the second game is going to have to get that adjustment. But, you know, this is as far as expanding our borders. Remember, it used to be a such thing. I know you know, Alan, but a lot of our listeners don't realize that, maybe a little younger, that it used to be NFL Europe. And it used to be in Frankfurt, Germany.
Yes.
And we had, you know, four or five teams. That's where Adam Vinatieri got his shine at. That's where James Harrison got his shine at. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of stars or guys who – it was pretty much a developmental league that guys would probably be playing right now. So this is an opportunity to kind of lean on that fan base and get that extra money, as I believe that it will be a team, you know, in London, you know, coming up pretty soon. You know, I'd say within the next 10 years, I think we have expansion. We've been trying to figure it out now for the duration, you know, no different from a team, you know, Hawaii playing college football.
Now, which North American league is going to be the first to expand overseas like that?
I think the Jaguars would love to go there. I mean, the owner has – Shaq Khan has a lot of
– Yeah, Fulham in the Premier League is his team over there.
Yeah, so he has a lot of ties over there. If he can put both his entities in one place,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I guarantee you he would love to do that. That's why Jaguars are always over there anyway.
Yeah, and they're building a bit of a base there too, right? By being there so much.
And now they're a good team.
You're becoming like a – yeah, and they're good now.
They're
used
good.
To be awful. But think about it. Like, they've built enough of a base because they go there every year – that if you're in London, that's the one team you see all the time. You see them once a year.
Yep.
Now you'll see them twice.
Sky Sports. And, you know, New York teams, but New York teams will never leave New York.
Yeah.
But, you know, you can see them. You can see maybe some readjusting the you know, remember the Ravens used to be in the South, right? So they can do realignments as well if they do two expansion teams. I know they want to have a team back in St. Louis. If you look at what the expansion league did, you know, St. Louis sold out every game
wouldn't
in
you
the
have
XFL.
To put, would, if the Jaguars ended up moving to London, wouldn't you have to put them in, like, the NFC, the AFC East?
You could. You can do that. It makes sense, right?
Where else? But, what else would
but,
you put
but,
them
but,
in?
But then the Dallas Cowboys is in the NFC East, and they in the South. So
but Jacksonville's an AFC team, though. Like, that's
right.
The point.
Yeah, yeah.
But AFC East would have to – they'd have to take them, and then who would you send?
That means you have to travel
to
over
South.
There once. Who would you send to the South?
Yeah.
You can send the
Dolphins.
Yeah, you can send the Dolphins to the South.
Which traditionally, though, really messes everything. But that traditionally messes things up. Because traditionally, the Dolphins, the Jets, the – you know, they're all like that's been bitter rivals forever.
But traditions change, man, and you know, for the betterment of the business.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Well, travel wise, certainly, if you're the Dolphins, you don't have to come up north all the time,
right? But then they lose that advantage.
Yes, they do lose that advantage. That
because everybody plays in warm weather.
Yeah. 800-919-3776 is the number. Ira in Staten Island joins us right now. Ira. You think it's an advantage that the Jets don't have to go across the pond?
Oh, yeah, I think it's a huge advantage under the assumption that they're going to get 5 or 6 primetime night games, which you know is coming. So I think a European trip on top of the night games would just be too much for the players. And I tell you the truth, and I know it's a business, I know it's about marketing, and I get all of this, and I know it's coming. But I just don't like it. I don't like these games going out of the country. And, you know, maybe I'm old school, but, you know, the NFL was built here, and they should figure out another way to market their stuff to make more money here. They don't have to spread these teams out. And, yeah, and Bart's right. You know there's going to be a team or two that's going to be in Europe eventually someday.
Yeah.
They're
yeah.
just going to keep on expanding and expanding. And it's a shame. It really is. Because the sport's going to get watered down. They're going to ruin the sport.
I mean, it's a lot of, you know, you look at these other leagues, and it's more people, if given a chance, could play in this league. You can still have good players and develop more players, but, you know, good players get cut because, or they age out the middle class, which is really what the last CBA did. So just imagine those veterans that would be able to play a little bit longer because, you know, they're those in-between guys, those middle-of-the-pack guys. And, you know, a lot of those guys get cut because they go straight for the cheap or expensive. It's no middle class. So this is allowed the middle class to have a longer shelf life, you know, which is good for the league and good for players because it's players that's deserving to be in the league right now.
Ira, I was wondering, because you're a guy that's been a fan for so long. You go to every game. So I'm sure for you, schedule and everything else, like you probably have great perspective on this. When Bart and I talk about week one, which we don't know yet, but Bart has said since last week, September 11th makes sense. Jets, Giants, MetLife Stadium, Aaron Rodgers' first game as a Jet. There's no way it's 1 o'clock against the Commanders, right? Like, that's got to be, if not Sunday, Monday night. And playing it in New York, even though it's the Jets, not a home game for the Jets, doesn't matter. Like, does that, like, and Aaron Rodgers, funny, on the Jets video, even when he was asked, you know, guess what week one opponent you're going to have, like predict it. And he said Giants. So, you know, that's in the back of his mind as well. Like is there anything that would tell you that they wouldn't do, like, you, like, is there a reason why this wouldn't happen?
Maybe in the national audience, but to you and me and everything I've heard, you know, not from anybody close to the situation, just the same people everybody's hearing, it looks like it's going to be that 9/11 game. And the one good thing, it'll be a 7 o'clock game because the first Monday
Double
night
that.
They always have the West Coast game too.
Right.
But to me, I tell you the truth, all the pressure's on the Jets because the Jets cannot open the season with Aaron Rodgers at home, even though it's a Giant home game. And you know the building will still be half filled with Jet fans.
Of course.
They cannot lose the opener to the Giants. It can't happen. All the pressure's on the Jets.
But still, it's something that for the NFL, what a way to kick it off. And if you're ABC, you got to want it. I mean, that's something you'd absolutely have to want. All right, good to hear from you. Thanks so much. So, Bart, I mean, we'll know, obviously, tomorrow night. It's 8 p.m. NFL Network is a schedule release show, which blows my mind. Still funny.
Whole show. Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah. But still, it is something to me that does make sense. Will it happen? We'll find out.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Right now, of course, as you know, it's that time of the show for us to step aside and let the headline makers do the talking in the segment we like to call
Audio Files.
The Audio Files.
Yes, an audio file is brought to you by Samwell Institute for Pain Management. Pain in Boston, Bart, as the Celtics, in somewhat shocking fashion, last night, take an L at home, and an ugly one. The Sixers beat them 115-103. And now all of a sudden, Boston heads to Philadelphia, facing elimination, down 3-2 in the series. And you talk all about it too. The Celtics got to the finals last year. The belief was that this team was built to win a championship this year. But they got smoked at home. They were getting booed by their home crowd. And after the game, Jaylen Brown said, "We got to stop talking about how this is like last year.
Last year is over with, you know. This year, we got to come out and be better than we were tonight, or we'll have a different ending. Obviously, we still are in this series. We got to muster up whatever we got left to be better for game six."
I mean, we have seen this team fight back before, like I said, in the past. And as Brown said, you can't go to the past. You know why? And I'm telling you, it's because their head coach, Joe Mazzulla, does not look like he's got a grips on this stuff. And that he does, I mean, there's a lot of times he looks like he's he doesn't know what to do. And there are times his players look like they're not really paying attention to him. They're doing their thing. And Jason Tatum, while he went for 36, there is a criticism of him that too many times he kind of sits back, that he doesn't have enough fire in him. Once in a while, you'll see that fire and you'll realize just how damn good this guy is. But for the Celtics, the bigger issue was more of their supporting role players. Al Horford took 7 threes and he missed every one.
Yeah, man. That was apparent early. And that was big because they were wide open. Those were momentum shifts and changes, yes, man. Long rebounds.
And they live off threes. They were 12 of 38, under 32%. Not good. Meanwhile, the Sixers got a magnificent performance out of Joel Embiid, who had 33 points, hit three threes, got to the free throw line, 7 rebounds. And, you know, this is a game that James Harden didn't have to be otherworldly, but he was very good. 17. He only took 8 shots because he was feeding everybody else. I mean, Tyrese Maxey had 30.
Went off.
And Harden had 10 assists. Like, they played really well. They got a little bit from their bench. Daniel House played out of nowhere, gave you 10 points. He hadn't played, comes in and gives you 10. Like, that's what you like, and that's what you need in the postseason. So the Sixers are suddenly feeling really good about their chances to finally get out of the second round with Joel Embiid. He has not done it. This is the hump to get over. And they're one win away, and their next game is in their building. You know who else is one win away?
Who?
Nikola Jokic.
Ah.
As the Nuggets, after, you know, again, that series with the Suns, it's been all the home teams. Well, that held serve as well, as the Denver Nuggets got a big win last night. And I mean big. 118-102. They broke it open in the second half. And Jokic, again, was just magnificent. He had 29 points, 13 rebounds, 12 assists. He had another triple-double. I believe it's 10, right? Moves past Wilt Chamberlain on the all-time list for centers for triple-doubles in the postseason. And the guys on the TNT NBA crew were talking to Jokic about it, and he had a pretty good shot at Shaq.
Hey, thanks a lot for joining us. And you passed Wilt Chamberlain tonight. Most triple-doubles by a center. Congrats on that one, too.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
There you go.
Wow. Shaq in that? Is it Shaq in that list?
No, because I never passed Big Honey.
Because once Shaq got the ball, he was under the basket.
It was downhill.
There was no need for Shaq to pass. A little different with Jokic, who's not under the basket a lot. Does most of his work from the outside. Although, again, when he's one-on-one in the post with DeAndre Ayton.
It's ridiculous, man.
It's unfair.
It's unfair to anybody to have somebody 290. That's like giving the ball to Shaq and say, okay, you by yourself.
Yeah. Ayton was a team worst minus 21 in this game in 32 minutes.
He got no confidence, man. He's shot. And they need to figure out how to either go to a zone or something, man. They got to try and front this dude and have somebody behind and let somebody else beat you. Even though Porter came out crazy with the threes in the first quarter, that's really what was the difference.
Yeah, he hit
every single shot.
Yep. He had five threes. But on the Suns' side, you feel like they're too top-heavy now after the trade. And Kevin Durant, while Booker was held under 30 for a change. He had 28 points, 8 of 19, 4 of 7. Like, it wasn't like he had a bad game, but
yeah.
You know, for him, his standard is 36 points a game in the playoffs, which is ridiculous.
And that's what they need to be close.
Yeah, they do. And Kevin Durant, though, you know, somebody texted me he looks old.
Nah,
he had 26, but he only took three threes. And he was 0 for 3 from downtown.
Yeah, he hasn't been shooting a 3 very well. And they're blitzing him every
Five
time.
Five turnovers, Bart.
Yeah, and they're blitzing him every time he gets the ball. He has two. He's spinning away from double teams. Like, he's shooting over contested shots, right? They're not getting him the ball going downhill in his spots because they're saying that, you know, they got two. You heard what Jokic said. They got two players.
Yes.
Right? And it's apparent. Out. Because every time you look at Craig or you look at somebody take an outside open shot off the double team, it's Doncaroni or TJ Warren. You know, it's Brick City.
Speaking of Brick City, there's your New York Mets. Now two games under 500, 17-19, worst team money can buy. Highest payroll, lowest output right now for them. But it's still early in the season, of course. They lose to the Reds yesterday. So David Peterson was called up from Syracuse as an emergency because Max Scherzer was scheduled to get the start, but then ended up being a late scratch because of an injury issue. So Scherzer was explaining something that he was dealing with his neck.
Woke up yesterday with a bad neck spasm. When I woke up, I was locked. Told the team, you know, we came in on the off day yesterday. It was a neck spasm. And so just on the treatment, there's really nothing you can do for it other than rest, take some anti-inflammatories, and go. It's going to be a couple days, but that's the good news. It's only going to be a couple days. That's the unfortunate news.
Is that the good news, though, that it's not something more serious that obviously would cost him time, that it's just simply a spasm that needs to calm down? There is a concern, though, right? Because you sign him for a lot of money. He is older, and he keeps having these nagging injuries. And then there's Verlander, who just got the season started because he had nagging injuries as well.
Yeah, but, you know, like, you know, once they get stretched out and get ready to go, you know, you talk about neck spasms. That can happen from, like, sleeping wrong, and there's just nothing you can do about it. And you'll take some Scalaxin, which is a muscle relaxer. You go to the chiropractor. They try and release everything from, you know, structurally, like, you know, skeleton type. You know what I mean? Get that, because you got the soft tissue. You got, you know, if your bones aren't set right, then the muscle spasms. And it takes a couple of days. Unfortunately, he missed it. But I'm still curious about what he said before when they said he was dealing with stuff. What's that stuff? If it's not the neck, what's that stuff? So it is cause for concern because he didn't finish the season last year healthy, you know, going down the stretch. And they need him healthy, him and Verlander healthy, to be able to compensate for the fact that they don't have Edwin Diaz.
So concerns for the Mets and Max Scherzer, and concerns just for where they are. They were losing this game, Bart, 7-1. They pushed back late. They got some late runs to see if they could just close it, but they weren't able to do that. But earlier in this game, something happened that has never happened before, at least with Buck Showalter as manager of the Mets. He was ejected. He was thrown out of the game for arguing a play that actually he had a good cause to argue when it comes to it looked like, I forget who the runner was, it knocked the ball, knocked the glove out of the hand on a it was just a bang-bang play. And Lindor trying to make the catch, knocked the glove away so he couldn't make the catch. The runner was called safe, and Buck came out and went ballistic. And he was pointing to every umpire like, there's five of you, and nobody saw it. Like, he's pointing to each guy. None of you saw it, and he got tossed. And it was the first time that Showalter has been tossed, ejected from a game as Mets manager. And here he is talking about that play.
I just saw it differently. It's pretty obvious what it was, but it's hard to imagine four guys not being able to see what happened. There's about three ways you can get that play right. We had opportunities for it to not matter. We just didn't pitch very well early on. Pete was struggling.
And Peterson, he's talking about struggled early, giving up runs early in this game. I mean, right out of the gate, the Mets were chasing in this game. And so a lot of frustration there. He gave up four runs. Pitched just three and a third before he was out of the game. But you think Buck is starting to feel it a little bit too, Bart?
Yeah, I think the frustration that they're not playing well right now, that, you know, they still always need a power bat. And if Lonzo and Lindor isn't hitting, then they struggle offensively. And also pitching was supposed to be the strength. Went out and made the big trades. You know, even going out and getting Senga, you know, those are big acquisitions, big high-priced money guys.
A lot of money.
And you're not getting any return on your investment, but you're hoping that, hey, you know, with all the schedule that they're in, I think they're, what, in second or third place in the conference. Nobody's really running away with it. You know, as Philly, I think, a heat up now that Bryce Harper's back. But, you know, they just got to try and find their groove. And, you know, a lot of teams are struggling early on. I'm not concerned. I got confidence that, you know, the Mets are all in, and they'll make some moves, you know, before the trade deadline to try and get what they don't have. They're all in. There's no way you can't turn back. You're fully invested.
What does your team not have?
I need another power bat, I believe. That's why they were trying to get
Correa.
Correa. That's what they were trying to get, Correa. They just need another bat, man. They need another power bat.
Well, right now when you look at it, you know, they're eight games back of Atlanta and two back of a wild card. Two back of a wild card, which to me is, you know, that's the area you got to watch. Is you want to stay in the arm's length at least of wild card. It gives you – then you can make a little – you don't need that – ridiculous kind of run to get back into contention. Only two games under. The Phillies are also two games under, so you got to watch that too. But Miami is 18. Like, you're right in this division. It's Atlanta and then everybody else sucks right now. Like, that's what you're dealing with. But you don't have any problem conceding a division to Atlanta if you can at least get into the wild card. But as we saw last year, you really want to mess with that.
Just look what the Phillies did.
Of course.
So
we've seen it, that the wild card is still an on-ramp to winning a championship. That's not an impossible mission. So it's a matter to me of just making sure you don't fall too far out. We are now into mid-May. I think June is when you start worrying. I think it's still early. But I'm worried because of the health issues that are coming up with your two most important pitchers. Yes. You got to get them right. You got to, like you said, get them in rhythm, stretch them out, and have some starts now consecutively where they can start stacking some good performances. Then you can really see what this team's about. But right now, it's hard to when you got to call guys up from AAA to fill in the last second, and you're trying to beat a bad team. Schedule right now is light for them. You got the Reds. You got the Nationals. This is how they get healthy, like the Yankees right now, getting healthy on the Oakland A's before they got to play the Rays again.
Yeah, I mean, this is why, you know, that's why yesterday's loss was so disheartening. You know what I mean? Because these are this supposed to be gimmies where if, even if you don't have a good pitcher, that your offense can make sure that you can take care of business. And they didn't get it done.
All right, that's Audio Files. Thank you, Tom. Thank you, Ray.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Our colleague J.J. Redick, Adrian Wojnarowski's reporting, is going to interview, or did interview, I should say, for the Raptors coaching job.
Yeah, man, that would be...
How about that?
That would be rich. You know, I mean,
a little bit of a surprise. I mean, yeah. Redick's got a great podcast, Old Man and the Three. He's been a regular on First Take, and he seems to really enjoy going after the two old guys when he's got Stephen A, and then usually he's on when Chris Russo's there, and he just seems to really revel in the fact that he's the young guy in this conversation and kind of mocks their old thinking on a lot of times. So he's been good. He's been very good on our network. I never knew that he had that kind of interest in actually being a coach.
I got a little Jeff Saturday in him. I mean, we saw that last year.
Imagine
so maybe
that.
So maybe that's the thing. You just go and you debate Stephen A. and you get you a head coaching job.
Is that all I got to do?
Be the good luck charm.
I don't want to be a head coach though. You know what I want? I want to be team president.
Yeah.
Like I don't want to be a head coach.
Yeah, you're.
I don't want to be the general manager. No, it's not these. No. I feel like the tip of the spear is the most important piece. Like what you are is somebody that that sets the standard and then hires the people, and you know the type of people you are. Like I know exactly the type of people I want as coach. I know exactly what. Like I know exactly what I'd want with my organization from a business side. Because when you're team president, it's not just the. Like it's not just the football side or the basketball side. It's the business side too.
Right.
Like I already know all the things that I would want to set up if I ever became like team president. Because I would want the identity of my franchise, how it would connect to the fan base, how it also would be of who we are on the field or the court. Right? And that's the only kind of players we're getting. I'm not going to be this guy that just chases, well, that's a big name, let's make that work. No. He doesn't fit who we are. We're not doing it.
Chemistry.
Right. Head coach has to fit the style that this market demands. Every market has a personality, the way we play, right? Isn't that like all the if you think about the history of the best teams, they all connected in some way or another by style of play. You say it all the time about the Ravens, right? Like yeah. That you know when the Ravens are great, what makes them great, Bart?
Well, they do defense and run game.
Say no more.
They're always going to have it.
Defense. It's always about that. The Giants.
Offensive line.
When the New York Giants are great, where are they great first?
Offensive line, defensive line.
Line of scrimmage. Both sides. Like, you understand, like, this is how we build success in this market. Because the people who are fans, their customers, fans, the passionate, they're the lifeblood. They recognize, they identify with this style. So we start there, and then we go from there. So for me, if I was team president, there's a coach I would hire because this is the way we play, and then the GM I would hire because he understands how to find the players that the coach needs, not I'm getting this star, or I'm getting this name, or I heard that. No. What does my coach need? You find it. You're really good at finding players. I don't need the eye for talent, guys. I need analytics, but I don't need the guys that are going to build with analytics. No. I need the guy that understands. You always say styles make fights, right? Yep. I need the guy that understands the way we're going to fight and find me the fighters that fit that style of how we fight. You give me that, I'll give you a winner. Head coach, it's a lot of work, man.
Identity and personality. Yeah, that's
head coach
line
a lot
stuff.
Of work.
That's frontline stuff.
It is, and it's also immediate. It's immediate results too. And I love JJ. I've had good conversations with him. It'd be amazing to see. Did you hear him talk about how he got thrown out of a game because he coaches his kid's team right now?
Yeah. So
and a referee tossed him who didn't know who he was.
Yeah, we need to teach. Well, it shouldn't matter. We got to teach him composure. You know what I mean? Under pressure, man.
Well, he said he really
calls.
Didn't. All he did was kind of just make a face about, really? You're calling that? And the guy overreacted. And, you know, because, you know, some guys get a little too. They don't like being challenged. And then he realized, and then he was told who he was later on, came over to him, apologized, and wanted him to take pictures.
Nah, hell no. Hell no. Can't have no picture.
It was such a great story. But you said you'd want to be a coach, right?
Position coach. I don't know. Maybe one day if I can find the right situation.
If you went into coaching, you'd probably start as a linebackers coach, I'm guessing, right? You'd start there.
Start with linebackers coach.
Would you be on the sideline or would you be up in the box?
No, I like to see it right there. I need to be there to be able to talk to my guys instantly coming off the bench. I can't get on the phone and have to talk to them and, you know, wait for them to come over. I need to be able to correct them and make the corrections immediately.
If you went to New England, maybe Belichick could make you offensive line coach.
Yeah, he would. Like, right, thanks a lot, bro. Like,
reinvent the wheel.
What's that open step? Yeah, here we go.
But still, isn't there something about being in the fight, though? There is something that – I mean, we're in the media. It's fun because, really, what is the – there's no accountability when it comes to wins and losses. We react. Everything's react. But do you miss that part of the – not even the camaraderie part, because you get that in this business, I think, a little bit. But there is something about being in the fight, right?
Yeah, it is. It's like
that's
being there.
So much different.
It's like being on the front line, man. It's like watching, like, you know, the physicality. You can't get out there and do it, but you can send your pieces to inflict the damage that you want done. You can gas them up to go out there and lay somebody out. You can set up the stunt or the blitz and make sure it comes home. You know what I mean? That's the fun part. You know what I mean? Being able to get guys to see them, like, accomplish their dreams and goals. That's the beauty of coaching, right? Because you know the work that they put in, especially the players that don't have the natural talent that's building themselves to be a professional, opposed to the ones that's already great at everything. It's very little coaching that you have to do for those guys.
And I'll be honest with you, there's nothing greater than the pleasure of success. Like just add that element. And if we just had that element, to me, all the work that you do, like, again, in our job, the preparation, everything else, you know, you do a show and you can feel good about it, you can feel bad about it, but either way, it's like, you know, this is the next show. There's not a lot on the line, honestly, right? There's something about, to me, on the team's side of it, the pleasure of success because of this, not just the satisfaction of it, but it's the effort you put into it on, for you, again, the NFL, it's a weekly basis. In the NBA, it's a nightly basis of just how much work you put in that goes beyond the final score. It's the end result of, like you just said, like when you can build up a player and teach him things and watch the player develop before your eyes. There's nothing greater than that. And then, of course, it's the collective success. It's everything that we get to share. Individual success is nice. You feel good about yourself. Maybe you have your family you can celebrate with. But, Bart, and I know you've been there. I mean, you have certainly been there. Is there nothing greater than a collective celebration over something that you have accomplished?
It's not.
Like, there's nothing greater than that. I mean, I bet you still can remember the locker room at Foxborough after Can't Wait. You, I guarantee you that you probably remember it like it was yesterday, just walking into that locker room and being part of that moment.
It's just an admiration of your peers, man. We put in so much work, man, and the physical work you put in, but also the mental work. And being able to execute game plans and to feel like, you know, that you got the answers to the test and to go out there and execute it. You know, I mean, it was always amazing that sometimes when we go out there, it's exactly what the coach said. Like, man, these dudes are awesome. Like, man, they sat there and they looked at the analytics and they sat there and they figured out the game plan. They knew what they were going to do. It's almost like what LeBron did, right? Mm-hmm. Like, LeBron knew, okay, point here. They're going there. You go there. Yep. And it's like you orchestrating stuff like that. And sometimes, you know, that's when coaching matters, when you can give them your team the advantage simply because you've scouted, you understand the tendencies, and you know when to call the right play. It's right. Nothing like that. So I want to know what it feels like to experience that as a coach. You know, I experienced a little bit, coach my son's little league team when he was playing football, about how to, you know, see a scheme that a team does and all week to devise a plan to stop it or make it difficult. And when it works, it's nothing like it.
Right, exactly. Like I said, I call it the pleasure of success.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.